This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Madeira Show, where he will discuss testosterone optimization and full body health for the high-performance modern man. Now, here's your host, Dr. Madeira.
Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Madeira back here on my show, and today we have special guest Dr. Greg Eckel. How's it going today, Dr. Greg?
Oh, it is going very well.
Spectacular. And you're down in Portland, Oregon, correct?
That is right. Been down here since 2001.
Awesome. So everybody who doesn't know Dr. Greg Eckel, he's a naturopathic doctor in Portland, Oregon, who has spent the last 20 years developing and refining his unique approach to chronic neurological conditions. He's a highly respected international lecturer, author, and expert in integrative care for neurodegeneration. He is also the co-founder and owner of Nature Cures Clinic. And you just came off of this summit for brain health. And what was the title of the summit?
The summit's title was the Brain Degeneration Summit, where I interviewed 33 world experts on different facets of brain health.
Wow, that's spectacular. That's amazing. Well, and your book is titled, is around Parkinson's disease, as you mentioned. What is the title for the audience?
We have it. It's called Shake It Off, an Integrative Approach to Parkinson's Solutions.
Excellent. I love that title, by the way. That's great.
Thank you. I'm getting really good feedback. It's gone international, talking to a lot of folks in the Netherlands, Denmark, Sweden, really cutting edge therapies. And we can bring that up through our talk today and our show too.
Excellent. Great. So how did you get into brain health after becoming a naturopathic doctor? What basically excited you about brain health?
Well, you know, it was out of actually personal tragedy. So I definitely have been an integrated practitioner, naturopathic doc, an acupuncturist, Chinese medicine, and specialized in difficult and recalcitrant conditions. But it wasn't until 3 years ago, 4 years ago, basically my wife at the time, Soraya, started developing these really odd dementia signs. You know, this is a, you know, she was a young 40-year-old, 42, 43-year-old, and, you know, top-of-the-game practitioner. She graduated top of her class from Oregon Health Sciences University, the number one midwifery school in the country. She was the first in her class. So, like, super sharp woman. You know, women would come out of her gyne room, like, doing a little jig and dancing and singing. It's like, what? This is the gynecologist. What's going on here? And we found ourselves in the clinic. We kept staying later and later and later. And I kept saying, like, what is going on here, honey? Like, why are we staying? We've been here 5 years. You know, you've been in the clinic and we've never, you know, you've never had any issues. She said, hey, get off my back. Like, I'm seeing these really tough cases. I'm charting very well. But, you know, it kind of continued for multiple months. And it got to the point of like, oh, are we having like, are we going into perimenopause here or what? So we checked her hormones. It wasn't hormones. Then I looked at molds and other issues for like what could be causing memory loss. And very quickly it became evident this was nothing I had ever seen in, at that point, 17 years of practice. So I had to go outside of the clinic. You know, I was like, okay, well, let's try conventional land. And quickly what became the differential for what was going on for her were really rare neurodegenerative conditions. And one was on the kind of the front burner, which was called Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is mad cow syndrome in cattle. It is called Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease in people, and it's a prionic disorder, which is a misfolded protein. But you can't, there's no lab test for it, right? There's no imaging to support this. So what it looked like at home basically was rapidly progressing dementia to the point within 2 months she wasn't able to talk or communicate. And, you know, I went through conventional land and they basically said, oh, this is a psychotic break. You know, here's some, you know, antipsychotic medications. I'm like, this is not psychosis. You know, I've seen that in the practice. This isn't what's going on here. So started consulting with, you know, more and more of the world experts, went, found Case Western in Ohio is the Prionic Surveillance Center of North America. I had no idea that existed. And so, you know, as loving husband and as really skilled integrative practitioner, I started really digging deep. And you know, I got to experience our broken healthcare system firsthand. It was totally fractionated. And I knew it, you know, with helping patients over the 17, 18 years before this happened. But to go through it firsthand and really when you need it, you know, it's overwhelming, it's depressing. You know, just to experience it with a loved one firsthand. And what I discovered along the way is what I wrote about in my book. And it's really, you know, gave me cause to like stick the flagpole in the earth saying, hey, this is the territory. I've been down this. I don't want people to go through what I went through. So I've developed some, you know, I kind of pulled all of the different pathways of what I'd been thinking about and for brain health and for human health and really developed what I call my fancy approach to brain regeneration. That's what I wrote about in my book, Shake It Off, an integrative approach to Parkinson's solutions. It's what gave me motivation to create that Brain Degeneration Summit, where we had tens of thousands of people that got educated on different facets of brain health. It's a level of expertise that I bring to the table because I dug deep. You know, I got the Prionic textbook version number 2, and what you, I didn't even really know much about prions because, you know, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, you learn about it in school as a rare genetic disorder. It's 1 in 1,000,000 people. There's about 300 cases in North America a year. You know, Soraya was going to be number 26 in the study at Case Western. They decided actually not to have her come into the study because of all of the therapies that I was doing. And when I say study, imagine I'm doing big air quotes here. Their study was basically doing telemedicine, which is observational because the patients lose their ability to speak. And then at the end of the study, they give you a free brain biopsy to make sure it was Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. So it's like, you know, what the hell are we doing here? There's got to be something else. So I went, I swung for the fences, dug deep in the literature, really looking for evidence-based therapies, and came across a whole slew, what I'm calling Soraya's gift. So, you know, that's my motivation from my personal, you know, tragedy. Basically, I'm looking to help thousands of people out there with the brain regeneration and neurodegeneration, and then what are the steps that we can do to help alleviate that? And then also help researchers, one, provide hope for folks that there are a lot of providers doing a lot of work in this field, even though there have been no major breakthroughs in neurodegeneration in about 300 years. You know, still no cure for Parkinson's, dementia, Alzheimer's, ALS, multiple sclerosis, you name the brain degen, and there's just been really not a lot of movement for folks. Even in the integrative medicine realm, you know, I was interviewed by Dr. Al Schuler of the TAP, the Teach Advocate and Practice, for my brain degeneration protocol in the integrative community as a North American expert for brain health. Very honored to provide that information into that portal and educate other providers. And what I've found is even, you know, we don't really know what to do with folks in those spheres. You know, there are the pieces and parts, but really I want to really promote a kind of full court press for folks, because that's really how you get some changes for people.
Spectacular. I mean, that it's a grand undertaking, and, you know, I commend you and I think it's very respectable because, as you mentioned, it is a huge problem that conventional neurology is not addressing adequately. And I have a close friend from high school who's been diagnosed with MS, and I have family members who've had dementia and Alzheimer's as well as Parkinson's. So I was really excited to get you on the show and talk about this because I think that a lot of people, if they don't, maybe even when they have family members, they're not thinking in their 30s and 40s, early 40s, oh, well, I want to prevent dementia. You know, when I talk to patients, the human condition is what's right in front of me, what's 10 feet in front of me. And I think it's great to have this discussion of why brain health is so important and what can be done. As far as looking at the stats, I mean, how severe is Parkinson's disease and things like Alzheimer's at this point in the U.S.?
Well, you know, the stats really suck. When you look at dementia and Alzheimer's, it is now predicted by 2025, which is not too many years from now, 50% of the population over 65 years old will have some brain disorder of dementia, Alzheimer's, along those lines. So that's one of every two people by the age of 65. And we know that those changes start 20 to 30 years earlier. So if you're listening and you're in your 30s or 40s, pay attention, right? Because you might be seeing your parents go through it or grandparents, but guess what? The stats are that it's on your horizon, and you're right. In human nature, it's like, well, if it's not affecting me today, then forget about it. However, this is one, like, you literally will forget about it, right? On a dementia and Alzheimer's. And so without your brain health, you know, really the world is not the same. So, you know, that's a component is educating people like, hey, this is it. This is a wake-up call. We really need to get it together. On the Parkinson's front, why I wrote a book on Parkinson's to start out with was when I got in on the prionic textbook, which is basically prionic activity. Stanley Prusiner out of UCSF got a Nobel Prize in 1987 for the discovery of prions. We didn't even know these things existed, which are just misfolded proteins, but they're called infectious prionic. It's like infectious prionic activity. It's not an infection like a virus or a bacteria, but they basically send a signal out to other proteins to misfold. And so it starts to spread throughout the body and the brain. Well, you look at what else is in there. Well, alpha-synuclein is the misfolded protein in Parkinson's. The protein for Creutzfeldt-Jakob is misfolded. There's beta amyloid plaque in Alzheimer's and dementia, the Lewy bodies of dementia. These are all what those are misfolded proteins. In that lab, so Dale Bredesen of the Alzheimer's Solution fame actually studied with Prusiner in that lab at University of California, UCSF, San Francisco, University of California, San Francisco. And a correspondence I had with Dale, Dr. Bredesen, was that even anxiety can be considered a prionic activity. And so we're seeing rates of anxiety go up as well. And there is a movement to bring anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. Obviously, these are brain disorders, but they've got kind of couched over in mental illness. And, you know, it really is a brain disorder, right? There are imbalances in the brain that we can correct. So that's how I got in on the Parkinson's front to start. You know, clearly it's not Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, but it's a different alpha-synuclein is a different protein that's misfolded. The rates of Parkinson's are also on the rise in the United States and North America. So, I don't have those stats right off the top of my head, but those are easily, we can look them up quick. But it is on the rise, and also globally it as well. I think it's about 12 million people globally, about 3 million people in North America Don't quote me on that, but there's quite a few folks with the Parkinson's diagnosis. And then in the multiple sclerosis kind of gets put in here as well. And that's more of an immune system, autoimmune condition. I really appreciate Dr. Terry Wall's work on that. She's got her Wall's protocol, and we can talk about her diet a bit, as that's one of the kind of the main kind of diet plans, nutrition interventions that I would recommend for folks in general for brain health and brain longevity and prevention. So you were asking me on stats. That's kind of my long-winded answer on the stats there across the board. Yeah.
Spectacular. Yeah, that's really, it's crappy. I mean, it's crappy, but it's good to have that background for the audience who maybe doesn't understand the severity of these degenerative, neurodegenerative conditions. How do hormones basically interplay with brain health? Maybe we can talk about something like insulin resistance and diabetes, for example, and how, since diabetes is pretty common and there's a concern right now, it's April 2020, almost May 2020, and a lot of people are talking about, you know, being carboholics at home or day drinking or, you know, drinking all the soda and eating all the cookies or whatever. And there's this concern of, okay, amongst practitioners, we've been talking, well, maybe there'll be more diabetes and obesity after this stay at home. And how will that impact brain health potentially if the stats are already saying, you know, one in two for dementia by age 65, if someone's 30 years old at home right now, and maybe they don't have the best diet and they're not really looking, you know, forward to their health, what is the concern there around potentially diabetes and then dementia or other conditions?
You know, it's huge, huge. So I call the simple carbohydrates the white death. And just a note on that, it is like now more than ever is the time to handle this stuff, right? When you look at comorbidities and the people that are at more significant risk from the virus that is out there, it's diabetes and heart disease are the top two. Now, those happen to be the top two killers in the country. So it's like now more than ever, if this isn't motivating enough, like what the hell is it going to take, people? And that's coming from a sugarholic. Like I have a sugar issue as a naturopathic doctor, right? Like I get it. Like it's hard. There's, you know, we got our ups and downs out here with our, you know, stay shutter in place and, you know, shelter in place, but it's so, so important. You know, you look at insulin, diabetes in particular, Alzheimer's, dementia can be called diabesity of the brain. It's type 3 diabetes. These sugars totally influence our brain health. And you might even notice if you've got like middle age listeners, viewers, and if folks kind of go on a binge on their cookies or crackers or sweets or even, you know, some delicious sourdough bread, whatever, make sure you're putting butter on that. You might notice your vision is not as good, right? You're needing to put on the readers or you're not seeing as well. Well, that's because the microvasculature nature of your eyes is affected by the high sugar response, and it hurts your vision. Like that's the issue with diabetes, is it damages the small vessels, among other things. But so definitely, I'm really glad you brought that up because it is such a big player. Now, look, I'm first to disclose, like Chubby Hubby ice cream from Ben and Jerry's, I have an issue, right? I will let you know. Like, I'm human. I get it. Like, that stuff is delicious, you know? And before you know it, boom, pint is gone. So, you know, one, you can't really bring it into the house, folks, you know, because if it's there, you're going to eat it. Willpower will lose that battle every day. So, you know, my encouragement to folks, like, I get it. Like, it's depressing. Maybe you lost your job or, you know, you're fretting about the economy or the whole frickin' world for that matter. You can't take that on, but what you can do is start at home. Start with yourself, your family, and then you move out from your community. And that's how change happens. But, you know, yes, give yourself a pass, treat yourself with compassion, eat some, you know, Doritos or whatever your, you know, Achilles heel is, but then get back on the bandwagon and clean it up because literally your life is on the line at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a huge, huge issue. And I've seen in some patients them develop insulin resistance since their last lab test that was pre-pandemic. Mm. So we have the hard proof objective data. And I think as practitioners, we need to probably get a little bit louder about our concerns around something like insulin resistance. And I think a lot of people think, well, it's not a disease yet, or it's not that bad yet. And it's a lot harder to, I mean, diabetes can be reversed, but
yep.
It's a lot harder to do that than it is to reverse prediabetes or insulin resistance and dementia, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know, so on that continuum, right? So on the hopeful side, you know, we're able to bring back severe, significant Alzheimer's to people getting their licenses back for driving. So wow. That is possible, right? Hemoglobin A1C of 14%. That's way out of control diabetes. We're able to get that under 6.5%. That is an epic, you know, basically program that somebody is signing up for to get them back. So, you know, if you are in that pre-diabetic or your, you know, hemoglobin A1C is going above 5.6, venturing into the pre-diabetes, then take that seriously because, you know, there is a point of no return with these conditions. And the point of no return for brain degeneration is you lose yourself. Your family loses you, you lose you. There's no more joy. There's no more, you know, happiness there. Like, you're just not you because your brain's gone. So, like, that is, you know, that's why I'm willing to, I have some purpose and passion behind my voice here, if you're listening, because I see it every day in my practice. And damn it, we can reverse this stuff and prevent it if you just listen and actually take action. So, you know, we kind of all quote unquote know what we need to do, myself included. And yet there are times where it's like, well, you know what? I'm going to have some ice cream tonight. You know, like that's the way it goes. But, you know, get your numbers, know your numbers, know what, you know, maybe you increase your exercise after you do it. Do a little damage control. There are a lot of things you can do. It's not an all or nothing scenario unless you hit that point of no return. Then it's like, okay, all hands on deck and we got to go to heroic measures. Or, you know, you're looking at just giving yourself insulin injections and then, you know, maybe you need a, you know, kidney transplant because the kidney's damaged and, you know, it's not pretty, right? Or you need, you know, to go on dialysis. So it's not a pretty picture. It's totally preventable. And so, you know, I'm not a pusher or a puller in my practice. I really am into docere, doctor as teacher, and educating people. Like, your listeners are all adults. Our job is to provide the information. Sometimes we got to get creative in how that information gets delivered so that there's a little bit more motivation behind the message. And also just know for folks listening, there is support out there. If you get in with the right providers like Dr. Sam, myself, the naturopathic community, the integrative medicine area that specialize in this stuff, because it is nuanced and it doesn't have to be complicated, but you want to, you know, you want somebody speaking with certainty that has seen a lot of folks improve. And so on the hormone front, you know, insulin is one of those. On the diabesity of the brain, you know, really incorporating in good exercise, which I know you really interview some top-notch folks on your show, and help with your programs that you deliver. You know, that will help make your cells less insulin resistant and more sensitive to the effects of sugar. And, you know, when you start really getting into it and understanding, you know, it used to just drive me nuts when people would say, you know, treat your body as a temple and, you know, along those lines, and do you love yourself? And, you know, at this point in time, I turned 50 this year. I did a telomerase test on myself 2 years ago. I'm going to do another one this year. My cells 2 years ago thought I was 34 years old. So I feel very psyched on that. Like, I want to be the picture of thriving. And I'm going to redo it because, you know, in the meantime, I've done a ton of regenerative stem cells. I'm doing peptides. I got my diet cleaned up. I got my exercise kicked in. I'm tracking my sleep with an Oura ring. Like, I'm all in, like quadrupled down on health and thriving. And, you know, I feel like I'm aging backwards a bit. And on that front, it's like, yeah, like this is going to be my best decade on the planet. It just keeps getting better. Even though, yes, there is tremendous loss, grief, sadness, like that stuff comes with living. It's part of what we signed up with coming down to this plane of existence. So, you know, it is, I'll stop rambling there, but you know, that was a fun little tangent.
No, I love it. I love that, you know, you mentioned aging backwards, because I think a lot of people, when we talk to them and we're, you know, in a private consultation, it's my such and such conventional practitioner said that this is happening because I'm getting old. You know,
oh, yeah.
My joints hurt because I'm getting old. My back hurts because I'm getting old. I can't remember where I put the keys because I'm getting old, you know, to apply it to the brain health aspect that we're highlighting today. And I usually joke with them and I say something like, did you have to pay for that? You know,
yeah,
because your buddy at the bar could have told you, you know, dude, you're just getting older. Hey, Mrs. So-and-so, you're getting old. That's why you can't remember where you put your keys. And that's not really a diagnosis or even a workup of sorts. So hopefully we can help people understand there's, you know, there's inflammaging and then you can age backwards. So that's like the flip side that you mentioned. And that's really exciting because I think a lot of people and our culture doesn't help this either, where people are conditioned to think, oh, it sucks to get old, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like it's a senior moment. Like when we used to be able to have groups together, you know, I would ask for a show of hands for people that had heard from their provider, oh, get used to it, you're getting old. And, you know, 90% of people would raise their hands. And I said, you need a new provider because that is bullshit. I am not going to an agreement with you're getting old because I have proof of it. I have 90-year-olds. At 90, they say they are healthier at 90 than they were at 80 after a decade of care with me. Lois, she's on my YouTube channel, the Nature Cures Clinic one. She's on there 91. She called me up on her birthday. I was so psyched. I love getting those calls. She said, Dr. Echol, thank you so much. I am healthier now. I'm able to go on the cruises with my friends. I don't have pain in my knees than I was at 80 years old. So you're never too old for this to go back, for it to work. Like our bodies are actually set up to heal themselves. I'm not talking about living forever, but I am talking about living well and hard until you drop dead, you know? Like that's how I want to live and that's what I want to be a proponent. I used to, you know, the picture of aging in the United States is so skewed because we have such a diseased sick culture, and it's become like quote unquote normal. What you're seeing out there is not normal. It's super common, but not normal. And so that is a very big, keen distinction in my language that I cleared up about a decade ago, well, maybe 15 years ago in practice, where I would be, you know, an astute taker of the case, and people would say, okay, I have back pain, knee pain. And I would be like, okay. And I would say, okay, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm the professional in the room. They're coming to me for my professional opinion of what's going on. Their body is giving them a symptom saying, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, I'm out of balance. They've not been educated to know that that's what it's saying. They've been educated to think, what can I take to get rid of this symptom, suppress it? Let me take some, you know, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories or cortisone or prednisone, whatever it is, to suppress the symptom. And then they get worse through time. And my job is to say, wait a minute, the aging that I witnessed in Austria, I lived in Vienna, Austria as an undergrad, I was hiking mountains with 80 and 90-year-old patients. or patients. They were people, right? The only difference between me in my 20s and them in their 60s and 70s and 80s is it took them a little bit longer to get to the top of the mountain. They were using ski poles. And then we both, you know, we could all sit down at the top of the mountain and have a pint of beer. You know, that the difference was it just took them a little bit longer, but they were still functioning. They were out climbing mountains. That's the type of aging that I want to promote. Not this get used to it, you're getting old, or, you know, joking around like, oh, must be having a senior moment. No, that is your body saying, wake the F up. You know, I swear like a sailor, so I don't know what your listeners swear. Are used to. Yeah. Okay. So it is, it's your body saying, wake the fuck up. Like, you are off, you're out of balance. Like, wake up and correct course now. And once you get tuned into that language of listening, in which we do so well as providers, is just listening to what people tell us. They tell us exactly what the root is to Wellville, right? It's just we listen and then we know how to create a program to actually get the results that they're looking for so they actually feel better. Not just on paper, but they actually feel better. Their brain fog goes away. Their energy comes back. Stamina is there. You know, their recovery time. They start building muscles again. You know, all of those things that is healthy aging, you know. I even have the libido component. I have 60s, 70, and 80-year-olds that have a better sex life in their 60s, 70s, 80s than they had in their 30s, 40s, and 50s because they've got their hormones balanced. They're sleeping well. Their enjoyment of life goes through the roof. So this stuff is so fun to talk about because people don't get to hear providers that have such enthusiasm, are walking proof that it works, and actually have a cadre of patients as proof that, hey, this is reality if you choose it.
I love that. Yeah, it's so true. I think a lot of people, they have not been given that option. It's like the Matrix moment, you know, choose the blue pill or the red pill kind of thing.
Right.
Like, how far down this rabbit hole do you want to go? And within that, as far as getting people to optimize brain health, what are some key things that you see happening over and over again that are working with your patients that people listening could start applying maybe today? Whether it's, you know, does intermittent fasting actually help brain health, or does fasting help brain health, or is it better to have a ketogenic diet, or you're talking about the Walls protocol?
Yes. So on those fronts, so number one, before we get into any specifics, I find assessment is really lacking for the majority of folks. So getting in with functional practitioner, looking at all of the facets of health, in particular for brain. So if you start, or you're having memory issues, I'll give you a for instance, patient Chuck, diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment, which is the precursor to dementia. Basically, you're going to have dementia. We just don't know when it's coming. But you know, you're already losing memory. You're getting confused. Your word recall isn't there. You've got brain fog. Basically, as his wife said, she just said, like, my husband wasn't there anymore. Right. Chuck's 67 years old. And I said, well, what has been done? He said, well, I got this diagnosis and they basically parked me there. Now I'm getting serially monitored. I said, well, has anybody worked you up for heavy metals? So anytime with any neurodegeneration, you've got to rule out heavy metals. In North America, we know everybody's exposed to them. I find cadmium, mercury, arsenic, and lead are the top four that are the issue. So we did a pre and a post challenge test for Chuck and found, lo and behold, he had high lead burden. Chuck was an engineer. He's in the industry. He was exposed to a lot of stuff through his day in the workplace. We're one round in through a chelation therapy and doing some acupuncture for him. And his wife proclaimed, "I have my husband back." She's like, he's witty, he's sharp, he's in the conversation, he's balancing the checkbook. Like, he basically got his brain turned back on. And that was all just from metals. So from a metal test, we discovered he had a heavy metal burden. Now, that's not for everybody, but that is one that definitely has to get looked at. The other one we look at is hormone balance. So, and I know you're big on that, looking and balancing hormone, testosterone for men, estrogen, progesterone, also very important for men in their correct ratio. And then women, predominantly estrogen, progesterone with a little bit of testosterone for them. So you and cortisol levels, so your stress hormones, seeing are hormones at risk for your brain health, right? So that's a biggie. Then the third major area that people need to look at is their gut health. And there's so much data coming out on the microbiome. All of our neurotransmitters are manufactured in our gut. So if you have a bowel imbalance, and this doesn't mean you have irritable bowel or constipation, diarrhea, it's looking at the flora and fauna of the gut and inflammation in the gut and seeing, okay, are there imbalances here that we need to correct to assure the right neurotransmitters are being manufactured for brain health. So that said, covering all of the assessments, then you get into, okay, what's the proper route? What's the biggest lever that we can push on for folks? So, and this is not sexy stuff, right? I mean, I know you've been talking about it for years here on your show, and it's, you know, what's going on with your sleep? Like, are you sleeping? That's when our bodies regenerate. So if you are not getting adequate deep sleep, your brain is not able to detoxify. So when I went to school, we didn't even know the brain had the glymphatics. So it's like the lymphatics, which is the garbage system of the body, the brain also has one. So they're called the glymphatics. So when you get into deep sleep, your brain actually shrinks and then expand. So it washes with this cleansing material, the lymph fluid, and it gets rid of all of the damaged cells and the proteins that are misfolded, and it cleanses the brain. So if you aren't getting adequate rest and getting into deep sleep, your brain isn't at an optimal functioning level. So what does that mean? It means, what time are you going to bed? Every hour after 10 p.m., you're burning growth hormone. So it's basically, take your telomeres, which is the time length of your cells, how old your cells think they are, and just accelerate the aging process. You know, if you want to age quickly, and you've seen folks like that, you know, you're walking around and you're like, oh, you're 49 years old and you look like you're 69, like, you know, totally gray, overweight, kind of mid belly fat, just sluggish, blah, right? A little bit pasty, you know, and it's like, well, what in the world? Like, okay, yeah, you had a lot of stress in your life, but what have you done to counterbalance it? So the rest is a big one. So if you're not able to get to sleep or stay asleep, you definitely want to get your hormones checked and cortisol. Turning off the videos, etc. I mean, you know, we can go into sleep hygiene habits and ritual, but so sleep is one of those. Exercise, or I like to call it movement, is also, again, not sexy. Everybody knows they need to move their body. The rate, you know, what the requirements or suggested amount of time is 150 minutes a week. I love, there's the 1 minute workout. I don't know if you've seen that one out there. It's a physiologist in Ottawa, Canada, was studying exercise physiology, saying, damn, I've got young kids at home. I got this full-time job. I don't have time to work out. I'm telling people they got to work out 150 minutes a week. So he devised the 1 minute workout. Now it's not 1 minute, it's four, you know, three times a week. But, you know, you do high intensity workout. So you do a little warm up for 4 minutes, then you bust ass for a minute, then you cool down for 4 minutes, and you do that for another minute after that. And then you cool down for 4 minutes, and then you do it for another minute, and then cool down for 4 minutes and one more minute. That actually has been shown to increase brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, which is the cell signaling of creating new neurons in your brain. It's not a lot of exercise either. So people, you know, your listeners, that's 20 minutes three times a week right there. I just cut out a lot of your workouts that you're needing just to move your body. That's what you need to do for exercise. And then the nutritional component is a third pillar there. And I like the Walls protocol or the zone diets, 40-30-30, 40% complex carbs, 30% protein, 30% fat. Dr. Terry Walls has the Walls protocol. It's a modified paleo diet. You know, the ketogenic diet is a therapeutic intervention. I don't think it's a diet to live by. You know, we ran that through my clinic a decade ago on the original research for cancer therapy. I had a dedicated nutritionist for it. You know, people were still dying of cancer. Unfortunately, it wasn't the be-all, end-all, cure-all diet that has been proposed. I think we see it a lot in weight loss. It's effective for that. I like it as an intervention, but not as a lifestyle.
Thank you for that. Yeah, the ketogenic diet, I did try it after a concussion, and it is hard to do. I mean, it was not easy, especially without guidance.
Yeah, and if you're not doing it right, you can do a lot of harm with that one. And I find a lot of people eat too many carbs with it, and it's just like throwing fuel on the fire. Like, it could make things worse quickly. So, you know, I'm not saying it's a therapeutic intervention, and, you know, it is recommended. I think there is some research in Parkinson's coming out now. But I think balancing sugars in a more balanced approach that has been more time tested and actually works is a really great way to go.
Spectacular. And another therapeutic intervention that I know you use, I just wanted to ask you about and get your input on, is hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And what brain conditions are you seeing it most effective in?
Oh, yeah. So this one is, it's a great therapy for a lot of different conditions, and specific for brain health. You know, I've got Dr. Amen of the Amen Clinics to thank for some of his research with doing the SPECT analysis before and after. I actually did take my wife Soraya up to his clinic, and we got a brain scan right at the kind of beginning of the madness that we went through. And that did not shed light on what we were doing. But I like his research with traumatic brain injury, you know, showing and mold injured people, hormone imbalances, et cetera, showing a non-perfused brain. And then after hyperbaric oxygen, a nice, pretty, colorful, full perfused brain. And so for traumatic brain injury, I use it in all neurodegeneration and longevity fashion. I love getting in there myself. It's not like I come out feeling like Popeye the Sailor Man. That might be before some of your listeners' time, but you're like Superman, basically. You don't really feel like this boost of energy, but I know long-term effects of that. And for Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, other neurodegenerative conditions, really it's anti-inflammatory, really helps the body heal quicker. It's great substrate for regenerative stem cell therapy. So I've got that in on a brain regeneration program, part of my fancy approach that I developed. That's the C for cellular regeneration. So the hyperbarics are phenomenal across the board by getting the oxygen into the body. It helps our physiology function better. It helps with the mitochondria, feeding them oxygen, which then boosts our metabolic rate. It's awesome for diabetes as well, just as an aside, because we were talking about that earlier. So across the board, we've got some great research on it. Even at lower pressures, I do like the soft shell chambers. They're a lot safer than the hard shell. You know, the 2 to 4 atmospheres of pressure are the steel chambers. They're still very beneficial. There's a lot of research on those because that's what they used in the diving world and the Navy. But the new research shows even low pressure, even 1.1, but most of the soft shells go to 1.3 to 1.4 atmospheres. That gets enough. We also use a 95 to 98% oxygen mask as well in the chamber. So, and it's really time in the tank is the way that I talk about that. So it's not like one and done. You really got to put some time in there. About 32 to 40 hours is most of the research on the hyperbaric chamber. Great for also injuries, chronic injuries that aren't healing, just to get that oxygen, the anti-inflammatory benefit going.
Spectacular. That's amazing that how beneficial that is for people. And I think a lot of folks may not know about it and may not know that that is an option for them to basically explore for their brain health. And unfortunately, I mean, from my experience with a few concussions, conventional neurology, basically they said, go home, rest, don't work because you can't really work, and hopefully you get better soon. So
I know it's really it's kind of criminal actually, because there is plenty of research to say in that case, get going on glutathione, get your omega-3 fatty acids up to 6 to 8 grams, and get in a hyperbaric chamber. And what's interesting is it's never too late, right? So my kids, I've got 5 children, ages 14 to 24, and one had a head injury on snowboarding a couple years ago on Mount Hood. It was very icy, fell on his bottom, but hurt his head. No, he did not have his head in his ass. He definitely, though, had an injury, like basically saying, hey, I can't focus, I've got a headache, I can't read. We basically had to shut him in his room for a month with no tech, no reading, just dark light, and get him into the hyperbaric chamber and full functionality. But you know, anytime you have a head trauma, you're more susceptible to more traumas and more serious repercussions. And so you've got to take care of that oxidative stress. So, you know, any folks listening, I'm hoping that you've got in the tank or did some hours in there. And I would just make an annual plan for yourself, because, you know, you're still active, whatnot. Get in the hyperbaric chamber with those nutrients, and, you know, it will really help your body and your brain in particular heal, where then, you know, you can get it, have another head trauma, but without the serious, significant repercussions of that.
Yeah, I did actually get a chance to get in the hyperbaric chamber, and I'm hoping to get one for myself and family members soon here. Probably in Montana. So
nice.
Excited about that. As far as having multiple concussions or traumatic brain injuries, is there higher risk for Alzheimer's, dementia?
Dementia, for sure. What I find is most folks at the end of life start collecting a lot of these neurodegenerative diagnoses. So, but I'm differentiating there on the head traumas and dementia. There is a correlation there, the more head traumas. And, you know, one of the most tragic interviews I ever heard was of Tony Dorsett. He's a famous football player for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not a Cowboys fan, but he did play for the University of Pittsburgh. That's where I'm originally from, Western Pennsylvania. And so I followed Tony Dorsett for his whole career, right? He won a national championship at University of Pittsburgh in, I believe, 77, and then went on and had an amazing career. But they interviewed him, you know, a couple years ago on NPR, and it was just so sad to hear. So here's this football player. He's got dementia. He's got anger management issues. He lived in Dallas, you know, for a great portion of his life. And he's like, I don't even know. I get lost. Like, I've lived here basically my entire adult life, and I don't know where I am. And it was just so heartbreaking to hear. It's like, oh my gosh, here's this guy put his body on the line, multiple head traumas through time, and significant dementia. And, you know, had we've been able to intervene, maybe get them into hyperbaric chamber, get into regenerative stem cell therapies. There are now some great neuropeptides that I would recommend, a really good dietary intervention. You know, who knows? Maybe we could have had Tony Dorsett with his mind still intact here. You know,
That it is tragic. What are your couple top favorite neuropeptides to help people with head injury?
Well, we used to be able to use cerebrolysin. That one got yanked from the market because it was very effective. Cimax and Celenc are two that I have been using and utilizing for neurogenesis, boosting BDNF, increasing anti-inflammatory effect as well. We'll also cycle in the Apitalon for a longevity component. That'll come kind of in month three. So, you know, it's more of a long-term play, 3 to 6 months to start and then look at it. But a lot of the research is over time as well. And they're not a standalone therapy either. You know, we're putting that in with Chinese herbs, acupuncture, hyperbaric oxygen, regenerative stem cell treatments, et cetera, exosomes along those lines. So it's really, you know, when you're dealing with central nervous system and brain health, you really got to do full court press and get everything in action moving in the same direction.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, it's amazing. I've used the Cimax. I haven't used Celenc yet. And I've used that with the nasal spray with RG3 and methylcobalamin, with and without NAD. So
yeah,
I've noticed it's beneficial, especially on longer days, you know, the longer work days. So if people are listening, it does have a good benefit, and it's a nasal spray. So it's
nice.
You don't have to do an injection. I think a lot of people are needle phobic. So they like,
you know, what's interesting on that, they are, I've been doing thymosin alpha right now just for myself. And, you know, yes, I'm an acupuncturist. I do IV therapy, but I don't like needles. And you know, you don't even feel it most days. It's such a small thin gauge, but I get it. You know, you hear needle and it's like, no, thank you. However, these things are so small that on most days you're putting it in fat. So if you have, I got a little bit of belly fat, so you just put it right in there, don't even feel it. And it's super easy and potent. So, you know, yes, the nasal sprays, you can get patches, you can get topicals, you can do oral as well. But I want to just keep that on the table for folks on, you know, consider doing the injections if that ever comes up in a conversation with folks, because they're really effective. You know what the dose is, and it really isn't painful.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
it's really not that painful. And I mean, usually your practitioner should be able to coach you how to do it, so it's not painful.
And of note, I mean, it's nothing like a testosterone injection. So, You know what I mean? Like, so if folks are already doing T injections, testosterone, you know, cypionate or whatever, when I first started practice, I only did the topicals, and then realized like, I'm doing a disservice to my patients. I'm not getting an adequate delivery of the T. And so we moved over to the injections, and you know, it's nothing like doing that. So.
That's true. Yeah. Usually the first testosterone injection can feel like you got kicked by a horse sometimes.
Yeah. And it's a little bit difficult to think you're going to do that, give yourself an injection. So, yeah. So these are small, very small.
Yes. Are there any parting thoughts for the audience around brain health and around this whole time of maybe that are pandemic,
you know,
oriented?
Yeah, my message is now more than ever. Like, we're seeing this one right now. We're going to see more in the future. Be okay with the uncertainty. I know we don't like to feel like we're out of control, but when you really look at where we are, we're on this small little planet moving around a sun in this enormous, immense universe. Really, things are out of control. So I think just being okay with that and coming to some realization, like, you know, it's okay. We've made it this far. We're gonna continue on, you know. It's amazing what we've done historically. Like, our race, our species has made it. Our species has made it to this point in time. We're going to co-evolve with viruses. We're going to see other ones in the future. So now more than ever, it's important to take your health and vitality for you, your family members, and your community. It's very personal. And use this as motivation. Like, this is the time to make the change. You can do it compassionately, but just do it. Like, this, if now more than ever, it's time to take action for your health. You got providers like Dr. Sam and myself. We're putting the flag in the earth saying we are taking a stand for your health care. You just got to show up and do the work.
Spectacular. I agree 100%. It's, you know, act now. The time is now. And yeah. Thanks so much for being on the show today. I appreciate your expertise and I really love all the work you're doing and appreciate you basically, you know, taking this by charge. The brain health is needed more than ever. And I know that people appreciate your work and everybody can get your book, Shake It Off. And that's on Amazon. And you can listen to Dr. Greg's podcast. And when is your podcast is live weekly, is that correct?
That's right. Tuesdays from 2 to 3 Pacific Standard Time.
Spectacular. So everybody go check out Dr. Greg's podcast. And that's on the Contact Radio Network. So thanks for listening, everybody. Please share this show with your friends and family. And if you're listening to us on any of the platforms out there, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, please give us 5-star review and so other people can find us. And this was Dr. Greg Eckel on Brain Health. Until next time, take care. Now here's for my mandatory disclaimer. This is a medical information podcast and is only for general information purposes. It does not substitute or constitute the practice of medicine or any medical practices, including the giving of medical advice to any individual. And please observe that no doctor-patient relationship has been formed here. This medical podcast offers health, hormone, fitness, and nutrition information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitution for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional. Do not disregard, avoid, or delay obtaining medical or health-related advice and appropriate treatment from your healthcare professional. Users should seek the care of their physician or healthcare professional for any such conditions. The use of any information provided on this podcast is solely at your own risk. The contents and topics of this podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA nor approved by any other government or official body. The topics and content covered is not intended to diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease or disorder of any kind. Developments in medical research may impact the health, fitness, and nutritional advice that appears here on the podcast in the future episodes. No assurance can be given that the advice contained in this podcast will always include the most recent findings or developments in medicine with respect to the particular material covered. If you are in the United States and think you are having a medical or health emergency, call your healthcare professional or 911 immediately. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to hearing your feedback and looking forward to have you on future podcasts. Thank you.